I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Great to be back now with Salem News reporter Paul Layton. Paul, it's been a couple of months. I trust and hope you have been well.
I have, Rick. I hope you too. Thank you for having me back.
Great to talk with you as always. And putting some meat on these stories that are in the Salem News, pretty much current events. And one of the main things that caught my eye in the last couple of weeks was a pretty devastating fire in Beverly that involved a former coach that many people of my generation know about, Herb Schlegel, who used to coach over in Manchester. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about what's going on with that, if you would, Paul.
Sure, Rick. Yeah, last week there was a fire at Herb's home here in Beverly, and Herb is 88 years old. He lives alone, and it was a pretty bad fire, and, you know, neighbors actually helped him get out. He's doing okay. I spoke with his son a few weeks ago. You know, he was taken to the hospital with smoke inhalation, but he's doing fine, which is great. The house is, you know, pretty much had a lot of damage. He's not going to be able to move back into the house. But I guess the good news with this story is how the community really responded, and friends of the family started a GoFundMe page. And as you said, Herb is well-known on Cape Ann. He taught and coached for years in Manchester, and he was involved a lot in youth coaching in Beverly. I coached in Beverly Little League years ago, and Herb was coaching at the time, and I got to know him well. I mean, just a great guy. I mean, smart guy with a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. He knows sports trivia better than anybody ever knew. I actually did a story once on his planning to write a book, and went to his house and did a story, and he later taught at Salem State, but like I said, so that he was really well known and the community really responded. I'm just looking at his GoFundMe page. It's raised more than $39,000 to help him out, and his son Mike said this will help in terms of where Herb ends up living, you know.
Yeah.
Will help with those arrangements, you know, which is always a tricky thing. So that was nice how the community responded to that. And, of course, we're all thankful that Herb got out okay and is doing okay now.
Yeah, quite a story. And it's great that the community, as expected, came through. Not a surprise. All right, let's move along. Now, you've been covering a story for a couple of years now involving Varian and a school up in Beverly, and the former Varian building, I should say. I guess it's still owned by somebody. And contaminants. And bring me up to date on that one, Paul.
Yeah, so this is that situation where there's been contamination for years in the groundwater under the ground at this former Varian site up on Sawyer Road in Beverly. It's right off Route 128. It's CPI now for anybody driving past, going north. You'll see it on the right at CPI. But anyway, there's been this contamination underground that the company Varian, which is now based in California, they're no longer based in Beverly, but they're responsible for the cleanup. So they've been trying to clean up this, these chemicals underground. And, there's been concern recently. It's migrated underground into the neighborhood, and the neighborhood includes Shore Country Day, which is this private school in Beverly. And so there's been all kinds of new testing going on to test the groundwater and to test the indoor air of these buildings. The big concern is whether these chemicals, which can cause cancer, can get into the buildings and really affect people. There's been no evidence that is happening. There's been lots of tests of the building, so it's good that the company has been keeping up with the testing. But now, this latest story is that Shore Country Day School, they've hired their own company, an outside consultant, to do its own testing, or at least, to monitor the testing that Varian is doing. And I think the bottom line there is, they said, I talked to the head of school at Shore, Claire Ward, and she said that they you know, they trust the company, what Varian is doing. The state has some oversight of this, but they felt like they just needed to have their own experts to keep an eye on this. So it shows that, you know, 30, 40 years after the company started cleaning this up, that there's still enough concern that the school is hiring a consultant to keep an eye on it.
Why does the school, Paul, if you know, have raised the level of concern in terms of having to hire an outside consultant? Is this something that somebody said, okay, we you know, a trust but verify type thing?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, Rick. And that's a good question. I don't know if there's anything new that prompted it, just mm-hmm. other than the fact that it's ongoing. And, you know, I think parents are concerned. You know, the head of school said enrollment has not been affected at sure, but yeah, I think, in fact, that's a great way to say it, is trust but verify. It's a little difficult. I've been in on these, you know, meetings with the neighborhood group in Varian and the State Department of Environmental Protection. And, you know, the way the system works in the state is the company hires, you know, its own company to do the cleanup, and mm-hmm. well, this company makes these presentations, and mm-hmm. it's very complicated, you know, in terms of the science and so forth. So it's just that, yeah, they feel like, sure, just feels like they need some own experts on their side to keep an eye on things.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. So we won't ring the alarms. That's great, but I'm sure you're going to be staying on that. We're talking with Paul Layton of the Salem News and going over some of the stories that he has had recently. There's another one, Paul, that I'm not quite sure. I didn't get to read the article, but it has some. It's called The Gateway into Beverly. Something going on there. And tell me about that.
Sure. This is just news that came out on Friday where two companies in Beverly, Beverly Crossing, a developer that's built a lot of apartment buildings in Beverly over the years, and Goldberg Properties, which is a family-owned real estate investment company that's been around for decades. They're combining to build a new apartment building on Rantoul Street. Their plan is to demolish five, you know, current buildings to make way for this new apartment building that would have 60 apartments. So it will be located on, if you're coming over the Beverly-Salem Bridge into Beverly, and there's that fork in the road, mm-hmm. the left is Rantoul Street. So right there, when you just get onto Rantoul Street, it's a series of buildings on the left there that would be demolished, and that's where the new apartment building would be. So the significance of this is, you know, a Beverly Crossing, as I said, they're built, I don't know how many it is now, multiple apartment buildings over the last 10, 15 years on Rantoul Street, farther down toward the train station. This would be the one that's closest to the waterfront in Beverly. So it's just another expansion of apartment buildings on Rantoul Street. It's been really controversial in Beverly over the years. A lot of people object to these buildings, saying it's getting too crowded there, it's changing the character of the city and so forth. Others say that housing is desperately mm-hmm. needed, and that these new apartment buildings are better and obviously newer. And they all have, I think most of them have retail shops on the bottom floor too, so it's
right.
back in business. So this is just the latest proposal, and I'm sure it's going to, you know, generate more controversy than the other ones.
The one thing it's done, from an outsider's perspective, whenever I visit Beverly or travel through Beverly, it certainly made Rantoul Street look a lot better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think that the buildings that all these apartment buildings have replaced have been mostly old and run down. A couple of them have been, you know, these historic buildings, particularly right by the train station. And because of objections of, you know, residents, Beverly Crossing did, you know, change their mind, and they saved one of the old buildings that was a former, you know, hotel, you know, mm-hmm. right across from the train depot, and they're renovating it as part of a big, you know, complex right across from the depot. So there's that type of, you know, tension going on between the historic buildings and the new buildings. But I don't know if the building, I'll have to find out, the five buildings that are being demolished to make way for this new building. I'm not sure what the background of those buildings are and the mm-hmm. historic nature of them, so we'll have to do some more stories going ahead.
Well, it's interesting. Gloucester's going through something similar on a smaller scale, but it has begun. It's funny you use the word people are object to changing the character, and it just made me realize, you know, this is the 21st century, and whether you're pro or con, and I see both sides of the issue. I like to use the word evolving. I mean, because this is, right. It's an evolving society. Things are changing, and boy, you're right about, you know, affordable housing. So it's changing, and the quaint New England coastal cities ain't what they used to be.
Right. No, it's definitely true. And the city, you know, like most communities, they have all these, you know, zoning, you know, regulations and design standards. So they do try to keep an eye on the type of buildings that be, you know, that are being put up, and it's not just that these developers can build anything they want and build as tall as they want. You know, there are restrictions, and there's a long process they have to go through. So, you know, so there are systems in place to try to, you know, preserve some of the character of a community and the historic character of a community, while also, you know, meeting the needs of today and having more, you know, modern housing and, you know, more places to. The one, you know, in terms of the housing, the one complaint that people have, I think it's a legitimate one. While there's certainly a demand for housing, some of these apartments are really expensive, you know.
Yeah, right.
What kind of housing are you providing?
It's yep.
Kind of, you know, the city requires that a certain percentage of units be, you know, quote unquote affordable, but I think in a 60 unit, that's only like four or five of them, you know, and otherwise it's so expensive, but, you know, the other side is, too, they're private developers, and they own the land, and they have a right to make money off their land. So
yeah.
These are the type of issues that we're talking about.
Exactly. And I know you're staying on top of that at the Salem News. And finally, Paul, in today's paper, as we record this on Tuesday, you have a story about a longtime waterfront business that's closing in Beverly. And I'm pretty sure when I worked at WESX in Salem, it was called Rowan's Fish Market. Is that right?
Yes. That's the one, Rick. It's located, again, if you're coming over the bridge into Beverly, it's on the left. So it's between the Beverly-Salem Bridge and the railroad track. It's right next to the railroad tracks. It's kind of the small plotter, land right on the waterfront. But it's been family owned for, since it opened in 1959. And, you know, it's currently owned, by the son of the founder, you know, the son, name is Dana Rowan, who's 60 years old now. And I talked to him yesterday, and he just said that the price of seafood, for instance, lobster, is just so high, and he can't afford it, and it's hard to pass on those costs to his customers after all these years. And he said, you know, the regulation of the lobster industry has really made the price skyrocket and made it difficult for him and, of course, for lobster men. And I'm sure there are other factors too, but he just said he could no longer make a go of it. So it closed on Sunday. They posted it on Facebook, I think, on Sunday, and it got a big reaction on Facebook. Some people have been going there for generations,
sure.
You know, so it's kind of sad. It's always sad when a business owns, but, you know, when a business closes, but, this is a unique business on the waterfront, you know, that's been around for a long time, and it's too bad. It's too bad it had to
close. Oh, most definitely, and that's, again, I go back to the use. That's part of the changing landscape, that's for sure. That is sad. And is that, I've never been over there, I've been there, but was that down near where McDonald's used to be?
Yeah, it's sort of right down the street on the other side of the bridge.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually asked, it's funny, you know, you mentioned McDonald's because a new restaurant is being built there. It's going to be this 350-seat restaurant. It's supposed to open this year in the summer sometime. And one of the big issues there is parking. There's only, I think, 60 parking spaces on the site. So I actually spoke with the guy, Marty Bloom, who's building this new restaurant. And and I told him about Rowan's looking to sell the building. And he said he was going to call them that might be a good spot for a good spot for more parking for the restaurant.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, again, so many stories. I'm linking to all these stories here on our post. Anything else you want to mention, Paul, about stuff you're working on or stuff in the past that people should check out?
I think those are the big stories, Rick. The one I'm working on today, well, you know, just as I'm looking on our website here, the one story I've been doing over the last few weeks is the city of Beverly is going to be buying these two plots of land in their Gloucester Crossing neighborhood in Beverly, which is one of the more low-income neighborhoods. These lands are owned by the Beverly Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. And a while back, the Housing Authority sort of locked them up and put them up for sale, and it upset the neighbors, who said, you know, they had don't have a lot of green space in the neighborhood, and the kids would use them as parks. But anyway, the bottom line is the city made a bid to buy the two pieces of land, and the housing authority voted to accept that to make the sale for $400,000, and the city is going to turn these two lots into public parks with playground equipment and so forth. So I think that's a really nice thing for the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right, we can end it on that. I appreciate it. And again, we'll link to all these stories. That's Paul Layton of the Salem News. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.